We are looking at God and the Skeptics, part one, where we're examining seven skeptical doubts. We're at number six at this point, and that is that science has disproved Christianity. That is the skeptical concept. My scientific training makes it difficult, if not impossible, to accept the teachings of Christianity, said Thomas, young Asian medical student, resident. As a believer in evolution, I can't accept the Bible's pre-scientific accounts of the origin of life. And the Bible is filled with accounts of miracles, added Michelle, medical student. They simply could not have happened. Well, the idea that science has disproved Christianity can be broken down into three distinct arguments. The first, miracles are scientifically impossible. I love this. This is such a ridiculous argument. It is certainly true, first of all, that Christianity believes in miracles. We celebrate Christmas honoring the virgin birth of the God-man. We celebrate Easter to honor the resurrection of Christ from the dead. So Paul makes it a standard of Christian faith, 1 Corinthians 15. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if it be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Recognizing that we had such a promise, such a glorious hope, and to find it to be false, we are most miserable. But the argument itself that miracles are scientifically impossible is a strange concept. It's a leap of faith. It's a misunderstanding of terms. Notice, science is limited, obviously, to an examination of nature and natural causes. That's all science can study. So it's absurd to say that science can test natural causes and determine that these natural causes could not account for miracles. Well, yeah. Miracles, by their very definition, defy natural causes. That's why they're a miracle. So the question really is, has science proven that no cause other than natural could possibly exist? Can you prove a negative? Can you say nothing else exists? You can say that, of course, but can you prove it? Science writer John Macquarie wrote this. Science proceeds on the assumption that whatever events occur in the world can be accounted for in terms of other events, just as imminent and this worldly. So, miracle is irreconcilable with our modern understanding of both science and history. Well, his argument is that science assumes miracles can be explained by natural causes, but, oh, they can't. So, there can't be any miracles. This is faulty thinking. Christian philosopher Alvin Plantinga shows the self-delusion of the argument. Macquarie, perhaps, means to suggest that the very practice of science requires that one reject the idea, for instance, of God raising someone from the dead. This argument is like the drunk who insists on looking for his lost car keys under the streetlight on the grounds that the light is better there. In fact, it would go the drunk one better. It would insist that because the keys would be hard to find in the dark, they must be under the light. We can only look where we want to look to find God, to find miracles. So, let me try to put it as plainly as I can. The studying of natural causes and finding they do not explain miracles is redundant, because miracles are not natural causes. Nothing in the study of natural causes says anything, pro or con, for or against other causes. So science says it can't be miracles because science looks at natural causes. Okay, we got that. It's just showing the limited nature of science. Notice secondly, science cannot disprove there is a God who performs miracles. This is the key to this thing. This is where they assume that they know everything because they know a lot of science. See? To claim that science has disproved God is in itself a religious statement, not a scientific one. It is not in the realm of science to prove God does not exist. How could science examine nature and prove there is no God? What part of science would they study to prove there is no God? Will they test rocks? You see, we found this to be quartz, therefore there is no God. Will they examine the sky? Will they measure tree growth? How will they prove God doesn't exist? No part of science is capable of proving anything doesn't exist. How could you prove that? See, it doesn't exist here, doesn't exist now. They might be able to prove that, but what about over there or some other time? Proving a negative is actually impossible. So, let me try to sum it up by saying this. It is not illogical to assume that if there is a God who created, that he could do miraculous things with the stuff he created. That's not illogical. Let me just say, logical and illogical doesn't actually speak to whether it's true or not, just whether it's self-consistent, you see. So right now we're not saying, you know, we're not arguing that it's true. It is true, but we're not arguing that. We're just saying it's not illogical. If you begin with God who created, it is not illogical to say that he can do whatever he wants with the stuff he created. He had the power to put it into being. He has the power to do interesting, unusual things with it. However, it is illogical to assume that looking at the stuff created could prove the creator does not exist. I think it was C.S. Lewis who said, that's like looking all through a novel and proving that the author didn't exist because he doesn't show up at all in the book. So the first assumption, unwarranted assumption, is that miracles are scientifically impossible. Well, I guess we have to agree with that, because scientifically possible means within the realm of natural causes, and a miracle goes beyond that. Secondly, they say science contradicts Christianity. This seems to be a given by those ignorant to have followed the party line in this case. The media loves a fight, gives wide publicity to battles between secular and religious people. The topics of evolution in the schools, the stem cell research, in vitro fertilization, all this makes exciting debate and inflammatory reading. But this leaves people with the conclusion that a person must be either scientific or religious, but could not be both, that they're self-contradictory. Now, let me say that if science becomes a person's religion, then that person cannot also be a Christian. You could go that far, you see. Somebody who is a Buddhist is not a Christian. Someone who is then holding to science as their religion is not a Christian. So there is that division. Now, a Christian may be very scientific, but he will not subscribe to science as his religion. What must be understood here is the difference between science, that study of natural things, and scientific philosophy that comes up with an idea about how things might have come about. For instance, a scientist could find a shark fossil on top of a mountain. That would be science. You see, it's a shark fossil, and that's where it was found. Now, determining how it got there, you have to go to scientific philosophy. So one could say it's evidence of Noah's flood that covered the mountain. Another could interpret it as evidence that a great sea once rose over the area, and in the eons of time it dried up and became a mountain. Well, science can't say one or the other. Science philosophy makes that determination. If a scientific philosophy attempts, however, to tell us how to believe and what to feel and what to do, it has become a religion, and a religion based on faith and not on science. Science will take you so far, but it cannot tell you what to believe, what to feel, what to do. It's only evidence. However, at the heart of this idea, science contradicts Christianity, is wrong. The Bible has no conflict with science. It has great conflict with science philosophy, the science philosophy that denies God as creator, denies man as a sinner. True science studies the very creation of God, right? See, that's what science really is doing. It thinks the thoughts of God after him. This is looking at it and coming to realize what was intended by it and so on, thinking God's thoughts after him. So there can be no contradiction. God made it. God did it. Science figures out what was done. It is only the unbelieving scientist twisting the meaning of the facts that makes a contradiction. Do you see that? The concept that it's not the facts that we argue against, it's invented facts, but it is the scientific philosophy about the facts. Then the third and final argument to say that science has disproved Christianity, they would say evolution disproves the Bible. Now, we've taken many Wednesday nights to talk about evolution, so we won't do that, but we'll just summarize by saying this argument is arrogance when you actually know what's going on. It arrogantly assumes that evolution has been proven and that every intelligent human should believe it. I want you to notice three things. First, science has not proven evolution. Evolutionists like to point to what is actually microevolution as proof. What is microevolution? Microevolution is merely the natural changing of animals through the years. One of the things almost always shows up in the science books are the moth that was up against the tree and it camouflaged. Then, because of the jet engine planes or something, the tree turned dark, and then the moth changed to be dark. That is a change within one kind of animal. The Bible has no problem with this at all. In fact, I was fascinated to read the story of these cave fish that existed in complete darkness underground. in the water. And they had no eyeballs, just skin smoothed right over. And of course, the evolutionist says, well, you see, that they didn't need the eyeballs, and finally it evolved out. The interesting thing is that they took these fish and they took them out of that water and they put them in other water to observe them, and the next generation had eyeballs. Evolution doesn't work like that. Actually, what had happened, they found out that it was the water that had, if I remember correctly, iodine in it. Somehow naturally, iodine water. And that would irritate the eyes. I want you to think of this. Genetically pre-programmed into that fish was a switch that if they were in iodine water, turn off the eyeballs. And so the babies were born without eyeballs. When they got into better water that wouldn't hurt, switch flipped over, and they were born with eyeballs. This is so not evolution. This is pre-designed. This is understanding. This is a safety switch in case they're there. The poor fish aren't completely irritated with iodine in their eyes. Just took care of it. This is the change within a species. However, the moth did not turn into an eagle. The moth did not turn into a squirrel. The microevolution says that a rabbit could become faster and bigger or smaller and darker, longer ears, shorter ears. It could do all of that, but it won't turn into a tiger. That would be macroevolution. And that's the fact. Microevolution is pointed to, you see it, it's real. Macroevolution claims that all kinds of animals have come from one beginning cell. This has neither been observed nor proven in any sense of the term. In fact, the thing that is so absurd to me about this is that if this were happening, why did dogs end up looking like dogs? Why did it stop there, you see? Why do we not have just sort of general animals that are wolfish, doggish, four-legged, furry, teeth, claw things? Why did it lock into a dog and then a bulldog and then a chihuahua and... Why did this process lock into it if this is just ongoing, like they say it's supposed to be? You would have certain kinds of animals, you know. You would have winged, feathered things that wouldn't necessarily be entirely like the robin proudly showing his red breast. My wife was amazed. You see that? They just have that look, you know. Standing up there with the chest out, and the other little bird, the woodpecker. All, you know, you wouldn't have, it wouldn't be, wouldn't stop there. It'd just be, every animal would be a becoming of something if evolution were actually true. So science has not proven evolution. It's ridiculous. Notice secondly, many scientists rebel against at least Darwinian evolution on purely scientific evidence. There's a growing number of scientists who are rejecting Darwinism and supporting intelligent design. Now, let me just say that intelligent design is kind of a leaning in the right direction, but it's not creation. And the Bible teaches creation. So we're happy to see them take that little baby step and say, yeah, it's DNA, it was an intelligent design, you know. We're glad to see that something that obvious that slapped them right in the face, they actually said, oh, yeah, I see that now. But we go a lot further than that, that we go to actual creation. Others, like Francis Collins, who is the head of the Human Genome Project. You recognize that. That was the mapping of human DNA. He holds to some form of evolution, but believes that God was doing it, that the fine-tuning, the beauty, the order of nature points to a divine creator. A creator fine-tuned that process of evolution. Well, what these scientists are finding is that the scientific community, like the Spanish Inquisition, will not tolerate any deviation from the established beliefs. We have our doctrines, we have our religious beliefs. Don't you dare become a heretic. Rebels have their funding cut, their reputation besmirched. In many specific areas, those who find Darwinism to be lacking are stonewalled so as not to make waves. They're shown the door out. So the argument goes like this. No scientist believes in creationism. You say, well, this guy does, this guy does, this guy does. He said, well, they're not scientists because they believe in creation. Okay, so it's circular, you see. You can only be a scientist if you believe in evolution. That's what they're saying. And it's just not true. Thirdly, notice evolutionism, the religion of evolution, is an embarrassment. After all these years, because it has literally no evidence proving its case. They're so excited about anything that says, aha, you see, that kind of tends to look like it might even be that. They're so excited about this stuff. Think of it. Thousands of years of history and over 100 years of scientific examination have found what? No example of evolution, no intermediate species, no technical proof. That's a big zero. Then rub the line out. The theory continues only because it tries to shield its believers from being confronted by a God who demands repentance and demands obedience and will judge them. As for the Christian's attitude toward the skeptic, well, we need to be charitable. Let's recognize that miracles, by their very nature, are hard to accept. We can be tolerant because a miracle would have to have extraordinary proof. We've talked about that rather often recently when we were talking about the resurrection, how the proof was extraordinary. But even then, with extraordinary proof, it's difficult to believe your eyes when something so unusual appears. Notice the resurrection of Christ, Matthew 28:17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing? Jesus predicted he would rise from the dead, that he would appear to his disciples at a certain mountain in Galilee. Above 500 came to see. Jesus appeared and spoke to them, and while they were looking right at him, hearing him speak, some doubted. Okay, miracles are hard. We grant that. But don't tell me that science has disproved it. Science is not capable of disproving any of that. Comments or questions?